Hi, Explorers. I'm Adriana Scorey.
I'm Cindy Dowsett.
And I'm Lauren Rodick-Eberly. We are the mamas behind Kids Who Explore.
Come along with us as we cover all corners of raising kids in the outdoors.
We are honored to share the mic with adventurers from all over the world.
Thank you so much to Scat Belt for sponsoring today's episode. Scat belts are the better way to carry your bear spray and perfect for any outdoor adventure. The lightweight belt fits snugly on your waist and securely holds your bear spray canister. You'll love the slim fit and no bounce design. Scat Belt is your best friend when you mountain bike, hike, fly fish, or just want to get outdoors and feel protected. It gives you peace of mind in the outdoors. Learn how to use bear spray and how to avoid bear encounters by taking a bear safety class with Bear Safety and More. Go to www.recsafewithwildlife.com to sign up. Also check out scatbelt.com.
Kim Titchener is a wildlife conflict specialist who teaches people how to live, work, and recreate safely in habitats where wildlife live. She owns Bear Safety and More Incorporated, the only female-owned wildlife safety company in North America. With an extensive career in wildlife conservation and conflict reduction, Kim strives to empower women and families to enjoy nature without fear and give them the skills to avoid and handle wildlife encounters. Hi, Kim. Thank you for coming on today.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for having me.
So can you start by telling us how you got involved in this field?
Well, it was actually, I was completely lost when I was around about 19 years old and decided instead of finishing off school, I would take a break and head out west and explore Banff National Park and just totally fell in love with the mountains. And I was blown away being from Toronto. I was like, this is insane. People have grizzly bears in their backyard eating deer and elk herds chasing them down the street. And I was like, I got to get in on this. This is such an interesting field. And so I went to university and landed my first job while in school working with bears in Banff National Park. So that's kind of how it started. And then it grew from there, and I ended up working and starting being the founding director of a charity that I ran for 10 years called Wild Smart. And then I jumped into business and became a consultant working with industry and government and training them on wildlife safety. And now I'm here because I'm like, I really miss people and communities. And you know, I'm an outdoors woman and I have a family, and I really think it's time to get back to the basics and like educate the people that really need it, the people that are out there on the trails. And with COVID-19, that's where we're at.
So what would you like families to know about bear safety?
Well, one, that it's important, that they really need to learn to be safe around wildlife. And I think that it's really common for folks, especially when they're on a lot of front country trails that are really close to like town sites and highways, we often like, oh, well, there's tons of people here, or, you know, there's lots of people at the picnic spots, or, you know, we're in a campground, there's lots of people around, it's fine, like, we don't have to worry about this stuff. And it's a lot easier, especially as a parent, to not have to think about another thing that, you know, you have to worry about with your children. But I really do believe that parents need to get on board, especially if they're gonna spend time in the outdoors, to learn all they can about wildlife safety so you can just avoid it. You don't wanna be standing there in front of a grizzly bear with your kid going, oh, I really should have taken a course. I don't know what to do right now.
That's fair.
It's not the time. You know, and with this field of wildlife safety, I think something that people don't realize is that the conflict rates are actually going up. And it's the same thing with avalanche dangers and accidents that we're seeing now. Over the last year, both in the US and Canada, we're seeing more calls in for emergency services because there's a lot more people heading out on the trails and going into these areas where there's avalanche danger, there's wildlife, and a lot of people just don't know what to do when they see them. And so those conflict rates are going up and up and up, unfortunately, because of that. So this is the time to educate people.
Right. With COVID, it's been so nice that people are getting outside, but unfortunately, probably a lot of people are getting outside without the knowledge they need.
Totally. They are. Yeah, for sure. And what I'm finding is that because people are unaware and uneducated, or they think they know the right information and they don't, they do the wrong thing and they get hurt. And it's the folks that we train and we educate, they, you know, instead of escalating a situation, they manage to de-escalate it and get out of it and walk away and live another day. And that's what we want, right? We want people to do the right thing.
So how can you avoid bears on the trail when you're out with your family on a hike?
Yeah, I know. You would assume that a herd of loud children would terrify any large carnivore, right? and for the most part, they probably do. Right. And that's the key is like, yeah, just bring some kids with you. It'll be great. Like they're loud and they never stop talking. So it's great. Right. And so there actually can be useful in that way. But I always like to kind of remind parents that, you know, we looked at a recent study as to why, you know, why large carnivore attacks occur in Canada and the United States. And they found one of the most risk enhancing behaviors is parents not supervising their children. So letting them run up ahead of them on the trail, letting small children play out in the backyard adjacent to like wildlife habitat, not supervised. And of course, just not training your kids on like, hey, you're gonna walk to, you know, the neighbors down the road or from one campsite to another one, like, you know, here's reminders of stuff you need to know before you get out there. And I don't mean to like terrify parents that their kids are all going to get attacked. These attacks are still extremely rare. I mean, fatalities, you know, with bee stings and snails and snakes and domestic dogs far outweigh the attacks that we see on children by carnivores.
Can you talk about bear bells and bear spray? Because I feel like that those are two big questions for everyone.
Yeah, people always ask me, do bear bells work? And I'm like, I've tested them out myself for fun, and I've like got somebody to go walk like way down the trail, and I'm like, I'm going to hold your bells, I'm going to shake them, and you let me know when you hear the bells. And they're usually like less than 50 feet away when they like put their hand up and they're like, they could slightly hear it. And I was like, do you want to be like right in front of a bear when it realizes it hears the sound? And they're like, no. And then the second question I asked them is, why do you think a bell means something to a bear? And they're like, that's a good question. I don't know. What, who invented these things, right? Like, how is a bell supposed to mean something to a wild animal? And so my friend, Dr. Tom Smith out of Brigham Young University in Utah, he went up to Alaska and he did a whole like project on this, and he hid these bear bells in behind a blind in the bushes and like watched grizzly bears walk by and rung the bells, and every bear that walked by like went doo 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 and had no reaction at all. Yeah. And so yeah, I know, right? You're like, great. So useless product. So, but what does work was he took a pencil and he cracked it in half, and all of a sudden the mama bear stood up. She starts looking around, her cubs are looking around, and he realized that's a natural sound. If you're listening for a predator, you're listening for a bush moving, you're listening for the sound of a huff or a woof, or, you know, branches cracking. So we have to come across it from a perspective of a wild animal. We have to make noise. And so I always say to parents, just talk often, just like, and every couple of minutes, just let out a whoop and a holler. If you find yourself like, you know, in a really bushy area, you should be making noise even more often.
And the same be said for people who go on the trails playing music as well?
Yes. You know, Tom said, he's like, I've got to do a study on speakers, like music as well. That's totally a good point, Cindy, because the problem with music is again, it doesn't travel very far. It may not mean something to a bear, but the human voice does. And hearing out these calls, especially when they're frequent and you hear multiple tones of voices, you're like, oh my gosh, there's something coming. With music, it dulls your senses. And that's a big concern for me, is if I'm blasting music, I won't hear the sound of a branch cracking or the woof of a grizzly bear trying to tell me, hey, you are standing 5 meters from my cub. So yeah, the music has to stop.
I know this is Kids Who Explore, so really it's probably families listening, but for people that are getting out solo, do you have any advice then? Is it just a hoot and a holler every once in a while as well? Or can they be doing something? Because I feel like that's the big part where music comes in. I'll often see people solo on the trail playing music because I think they're thinking that's going to help them while they're alone.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I totally see why people find it reassuring. And, you know, if you're not a singer naturally, you don't really want to sing and torture the, you know, the people around you that might you run into onto the trail. But honestly, it'll reassure you more if you make noise. For those that are out going out by themselves, one thing you need to realize is that when we look at attacks, you know, with cougars and bears, it's mostly people by themselves, right? Yes, it is children that are left unsupervised, but it's also solo hikers because they're not making enough noise. So those folks have to make noise more often and super loud. And especially if you're moving quickly on the trail, like on a mountain bike or running. And I would also highly encourage them to carry like a spot device, Garmin InReach, some type of communication device, so that if something does happen, you don't have anyone to go run down the trail and get help. You have to self-rescue. So you have to have something you can communicate with to get help if you need it. And the other one I always tell folks when they go out is always tell someone where you're going, when you'll be back, what your vehicle looks like, the trail that you're choosing to go on, and what time basically and the number to call if you don't return. And that way, if something does happen and you can't get back to the trailhead and, you know, say someone sprains their ankle and it's going to take you 4 more hours, at least you know that there is possibility of rescue.
Do you have a quick rundown about bear spray? Should everyone be carrying bear spray and what should they do with it?
Yeah, so bear spray was invented to be basically a better option than having to play dead in a defensive bear attack or fight back in a predatory one. Because in both of those cases, there's going to be a physical interaction, which means you're going to have injuries. And so bear spray was invented basically to create this spray that goes long distance. So it goes about 4 to 9 meters. And as the bear either walks or runs through it, they get completely engulfed in this hot pepper formula. It goes in their nose, their mouth, their eyes. They start coughing, burning sensation to the skin. And a study that was done in Alaska a few years ago actually showed that 98% of the people that sprayed bear spray on black bears, grizzly bears, and polar bears, they walked away with zero injuries. Like, it was amazing. Only a few people had minor injuries where like fell over a log or the bear knocked them over and then kept going. So I can't say enough about, you know, each adult in your group should be carrying a can of bear spray. And let's say you know, God forbid, one of your family members gets attacked by a bear. How are you going to rescue them? Like, bear spray is the best option in that case.
I took your course, Kim, and it has helped me in so many ways. Like, I grew up in the outdoors. I grew up camping and hiking, and I thought I knew so much about hiking and safety out in the outdoors. And having the opportunity over the past year to, I've taken a couple of your courses and just chatting with you in person, you've taught me so much. And even just what you mentioned about telling people not just where you're going, what time and what time to expect, but things that I hadn't thought about were letting people know my vehicle, or if back in the day when we could carpool, you know, I would just head out with my friend and I wouldn't think about it. So now the second I get into someone's vehicle, I will actually go around and take a picture of their back of their car. So it shows the color, the make, the model, and their license plate. And I will text that to my husband.
Yes.
So that, and I'll actually text it to my mom too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I, also one thing that I learned from you too is making sure I carry ID on me. So yes. Sometimes I have a habit of, you know, leaving some of my personal information at home or in the vehicle. So now what I'll do is I actually have a bracelet that has my name, my emergency contact, both my husband and my mom, just in case. It has a list of my allergies. And had I thought about it before, I probably would have listed my blood type as well. And you can also get those made for children too. So that was some really important things I learned from you. And then of course the animal safety part of it as well. So I know we can't get too much into it today, but we will put in our show notes your website and the information people need to get in touch with you to find out how to take your courses and to do that more, because I really encourage our listeners today to take your courses. I think one of the most important things to discuss is the old belief of how you react to a grizzly bear and a black bear being different. We now know that's not true. Can you talk about the different types of encounters with bears?
Absolutely. Yeah. And those are some awesome points. Thanks, Cindy, for adding that in, because yeah, that kind of information is just so key. And the less time that, you know, emergency services has to spend just trying to find where you are is so much, it's such vital time. So yeah, when it comes to bear encounters, there are two main types. There is defensive encounters and there are non-defensive, which we also sometimes call predatory encounters. So with defensive encounters, this is when you're, let's say, going down the trail and you come upon a bear at close range and you've surprised it. Or it has cubs with it when you've surprised it, or it's feeding on something like a dead moose, or it's feeding on garbage. Those are all reasons for a bear to feel defensive. They're going to feel like you were sneaking up on them because you weren't probably making enough noise, or if you're moving at a high speed because you're running or biking, it's going to be a really scary situation. So that bear is going to start huffing and puffing and woofing and making popping and snapping sounds, maybe even drooling and salivating. And basically all those kind of behaviors, or even doing a charge where they bluff charge at you and you're like, oh my God, they're about to run at me, and then they stop. And when they do all this, they're basically saying, you need to back away and let me know that you don't want to fight. Because if you yell and scream at them, you're going to escalate things and things are going to get worse. But if you back away and give that animal space and you're calm and you and your family group up and just slowly back away from it while you're pulling out your bear spray, getting off that safety and being prepared to spray if the bear does run at you, this is how we want to get out of these situations. And, you know, literally thousands of people every day, you know, like they're out there on the trails, millions of people are on the trails in bear country, and they do have these interactions. And we don't ever, you know, you rarely ever hear of people actually getting attacked. Bears don't want to attack you. They want to get out of that situation. So that's generally how defensive scenarios go. Most of them result in people being able to get out of them because they de-escalate the situation. It's those that don't know how to do that, or things happen too quickly because they weren't making enough noise. And that's why we want you to be proactive. We want you to make noise on the trail so you can avoid these encounters in the first place. The other type of encounter is, let's say you're walking down the trail, and I mean, there's different scenarios. This can happen at night. You could be in a tent and a bear breaks into your tent or your camper. But if a bear approaches you and it's acting very quietly, it looks very sneaky, it generally doesn't have cubs. It's usually a solo bear by itself. And this could be a black or a grizzly bear, more common with black bears. And you're talking to the bear like, hey bear, I'm a person. And the bear just keeps coming towards you. You actually need to try to let that bear know, I'm not food. I'm not going to give you food. And you're going to stand your ground. You're going to yell. You're going to scream. You're going to get out that bear spray. You're going to group up with your family, yelling, screaming, trying to get the bear to leave instead of you leaving. So you don't want to show that you're scared. You don't want to back away and you don't want to run. All of those kind of behaviors are actually going to get things worse because that bear is going to get more confident. Like, oh yeah, I can take them down. And so everyone stays together, yelling, screaming. And if that bear keeps coming towards you, you're going to spray them with bear spray. So this actually is, the course is about 2 hours on when we talk about bear behavior, because it is complicated and there's lots of stuff to learn about animal behavior. But those are just the two like simplest ways to explain is that we have defensive encounters and we have non-defensive.
Well, I know in your course too, you give so many little tips and tricks that you wouldn't think of initially. So thank you for doing that, because I know one thing that Cindy taught me through you was that if you are backing away, you want to be dragging your feet, because last thing you want to do is trip on something behind you and fall back. Right?
Such a good point.
So I think it would be so great if everyone takes your course and learns all the different things. With grouping together, as you talked about, is it important to make yourself big, like to put your arms up in the air and for everyone to be doing that? And also, everyone should learn how to use bear spray, but everyone has different opinions, but there's probably a right way about if you use the bear spray and you make an A, or if you start down and go up, or start up and go down. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh my gosh, Lauren, it's so crazy. There's so many YouTube videos online right now about like how to use bear spray, and they make me crazy. We have an hour long course just on bear spray, and it's super fun. And we do a demo on how to use it. To back up there with your first question, when you're dealing with a bear that you perceive to be predatory, that's seeking you out, you do want to make yourself look big. You basically want to make that bear think you're a bigger, scarier, more dangerous bear. And so, yeah, so making yourself look big and scary is great. If you do that with a mama bear with cubs and she's huffing and puffing and she's feeling defensive and you surprise her, she's going to think you want to fight. So that's what we call escalating a defensive situation. That will result in an attack. So you want to never, ever do that. So never use like an air horn or a bear banger with a defensive bear, because it can actually cause them to attack out of fear because you're being aggressive. So I always joke, like, be a nice Canadian, apologize and back away. Like, hey, sorry, sorry, sorry. But with the predatory one, you're like, no, I'm big and scary, I'm going to get you. So yeah, so that's the way you deal with those. Now, your next question was with bear spray and, you know, how to use it, when to use it. You know, I think one of the things is if your bear is at close range, you don't have a lot of time. In fact, that study done on how effective bear spray was in Alaska, they found that most people were, over 75% of these folks were less than 5 meters away when they saw that bear and sprayed it. So like, that's close range. And at that close of range, we know that bear spray sprays about 4 to 9 meters. You're literally just pulling that safety off and aiming downwards towards the eyes, nose, and mouth of that bear and trying to get as much bear spray into their face as possible. And as they either approach or they run towards you, it'll just completely engulf them, because it does create this kind of big fan shape around the bear, and it's going to get them. Now, if your bear is slowly moving towards you and it's quite a distance away, it's obviously, if you spray that bear spray and they're more than 9 meters away, it's not going to hit them at all, right? But I encourage people to do a test spray. If the bear is quite a distance away and you've got the time, you can find out whether the wind's going to be a factor and how far the spray goes. And you could do a test shot. And then when the bear gets into rage, then you're going to really try and get it into their face. So don't worry about the A shape and the zigzags and all of that. Those are actually related to some of the specific companies that come out of the United States. Some of those cans of bear spray do long distance sprays. There's one can in the US that sprays like 40 feet. And so some of those companies have like really like long distance and long durations for their sprays. So they've come up with these kind of fun zigzag patterns and things to add on as kind of marketing schemes for their product. But I mean, honestly, you are the only thing that matters is that you know how to get that safety off and spray that can. And one more note is, where are you going to carry it? And people often put it in a place that they can't get it in time, which is really unfortunate.
This is why I think your course would be so great for everyone to take too, because you're telling people how to recognize what a bear is doing at a certain moment, which if you don't have the knowledge ahead of time, you're just going to be in shock and you're not going to react properly. And you're teaching people how to actually use that bear spray that they have, hopefully not in their pack. For people wondering about your course, I know it's live, but is there an option for them if they can't go to your course that they can re-listen to it? Or are you ever going to be offering courses that they can do at their own pace?
I actually am. I'm working on this right now. We are launching a free membership from our website, and you can literally just sign up on bearsafety.com. And there's a big orange banner that says join our community, and it's a free membership. And when you log on and put your email in, you get access to a whole bunch of resources on things like bear safety, signs of seeing, like what to look for when you're out on the trail with bears, some tips for camping with kids. And we're just going to keep adding more and more as we go. And as we get requests for things, we'll add more things in there. But one of the cool things that's going to be in there, and it's going to launch in April, and you can sign up early so we can email you and let you know when it's going to happen. We're going to have on-demand courses. So you can literally go like, oh, we're going to Banff this weekend, guys, we should probably take a bear safety class. And you can literally just sign up and take it when you want to. It'll be on demand. And we'll have bear safety classes and bear spray courses available in mid-April, which is going to be a lot of fun.
That is what I need. I'm signing up. Thank you.
I'm signing up too. Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing that information, because yes, absolutely. Even just talking about storage of bear spray and how to store it properly and where to keep it and having it on your body, those kind of things is really good to know as well. And then I laughed too, because the last time that Lauren and I hiked together, like immediately after the, hey, how's it going? Haven't seen you in a while. She was like, tell me everything you learned in Kim's course.
And our hike was that you were teaching me everything. And then, and then I was following you and asking all the questions and sharing all my knowledge that I was getting third hand. So I need to take all the courses.
Wonderful. That's what we want. We want to create a wild, safe nation. We want to get everybody smart about this stuff so we don't see these attacks. You know, I've had friends mauled. I've I've met people who've lost their loved ones, and I never, ever want anyone to go through something like this. And even though this stuff is extremely rare, it's better to be prepared and feel confident and powered on the trails. Like, okay, guys, we're all staying together. We're making tons of noise. We've got our bear spray. We're fine. Like, I don't want you guys to feel fear when you go outdoors. I want you to feel empowered and like, I got this. I'm fine. I'm going to be totally fine. It's the people that don't have this knowledge that are the ones going, really hope we don't run into a bear. I don't actually know what I would do. So,
right. And how much of this should we be talking to our kids about?
Oh, such a great question. You know, one of my degrees is in education, and we have like a little kind of joke thing that we always go is no gore before grade four. Okay. Which is good. We don't want to weigh kids down with topics like climate change and war. And, you know, we want them to be excited about the world around them. And when children are really young, there's zero chance they're going to be unsupervised. You're never going to leave a small child by themselves in your backyard or at your campsite anyway. So it's not really a concern for me at that age. When they're young, I really recommend that you just kind of explore, you know, what is nature and getting them to enjoy it. I have a fun game with my 8-year-old where, you know, we go around and we get to like check out all the different berries. And then we look to see, she always brings me berries. And before she can eat them, she has to show me them. And we have to decide whether or not they're poisonous or not. And she loves it. But I think, you know, even young kids, I've done programs for grade ones, and I've had children stand up in the middle of a class and be like, this is what you do if a bear is mauling you. You lie down on the ground and you play dead. And I'm just like, clearly your parent is a biologist, you know, but they don't conceive of what that means, right? We don't want to, isn't it crazy? And I'm like, okay, moving on. Let's go back to telling your story about how you saw a squirrel yesterday. So create wonder and amazement and awe, and like show your children all the great things about wildlife. You know, when you're on the trail, you can be like, let's do a search for bear foods, and just getting them excited about the fact that these animals live and coexist with us. Now, as they get older and you're like, okay, you're at an age where I could let you, you know, walk to the outhouse by yourself, or, you know, walk to a friend's house through the woods. If you live in a habitat where cougars live, coyotes live, or bears, your children, if they are not supervised at the time, they need to be educated on how to behave. If they are allowed to play out in a yard with other friends, they need to be educated about what do we do if a coyote comes into the yard. And I always say, you know, if a coyote comes into the yard, or when you're walking to your friend's house, you're going to stop, you're going to make yourself look big, and you're going to yell and scream at that animal and yell for help while you back away and try to get to the closest house that you can or closest adult. And not to create a lot of fear for them, but it's really important that they know that. And you can play games when you're on the trail too, like, okay, guys, we're going to play a game. And every time I yell bear, everybody has to get in their bear position, and make it fun and entertaining, where it's like, you know, they feel empowered and like they're right and they know the rules. You know what kids are like when they start to know something, right? You know, oh, that has to go in the recycling, mom, right? It's just, it's great and it's fun for them. So that's my advice on that.
I guess our logo here at Kids Who Explore works then. We have a bear as part of our logo.
I noticed.
That's great. So have you actually ever had a personal bear encounter?
Oh, yes, many. You know, I started my career working in Banff National Park and tracking and working with the grizzly and black bear population. And so a lot of my career there was working with bears. But after I moved on and started running a charity, I spent over 20 years in living in bear country, and it's inevitable. The more time you spend out there, you're gonna have interactions. Even if you try to do everything right, you can still have an encounter. And one of the encounters I had with my family, I was actually going up Cougar Creek, which I'm sure you guys all know Cougar Creek in Canmore. So we get to the parking lot, and I said to everybody, okay, put on your bear spray. They're like, Kim, the whole parking lot is full. There are so many people here. Like, we don't need bear spray. This is ridiculous. I'm like, uh-huh, no, you do. So everyone is wearing it, and we're going to make noise. And this was before there was the flood, and it took away all the willows and all the trees that were in Cougar Creek. And so we're hiking up the trail. I've got my dog on leash. I've got a big group. My whole family is with me, and I'm making calls, and you know, the river is the creek was running really high at that point, so it was loud. There was tons of willows, so lots of vegetation. We're next to a water source. Our lines of sight are terrible. I'm yelling, nothing can hear me. And what do you think happens? We walk right in, and less than 5 meters from, I walked right into a female grizzly bear with two cubs. And that trail was busy. It was full. I know you would not expect it. My whole family was just like jaw dropping, like, are you kidding me? And my dog lunged, which I'm just like, all the times, right? You don't want that. But thank God, you know, the dog was on the leash. And the bear saw it and saw how big our family was, that we were all together, that my dog was on a leash. And she immediately turned and she and her cubs ran. And that was it. And that is how it should go, right? If I had been by myself that day, if I had had my dog off leash, if I had let my kids run ahead of me on the trail, this whole scenario could look something much different and much worse. And so that's the, if I walk away here with this talk today with you guys, is like, if you can, you know, get your ducks in a row, be proactive, do the right things in the first place, like have your kids together, be in a large group of at least 4 people, make tons of noise, keep your dog on leash, carry your bear spray physically on your body, and be prepared. Always assume that you may run into a bear. You know, then you are prepared, and then, you know, things go right instead of wrong.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And what a terrifying encounter. I'm so happy that that ended the way it did for you guys.
I think we should maybe jump to if there's anything else that you think we should mention really quick, like we were going to ask you about camping tips and tricks, or if there's anything else you wanted to mention. But
we're going to have to do another show.
I told you guys this was going to be the long one.
There's too much. And don't worry, I'm going to take all the stuff that I was going to say and I'm going to make it into resources and I'll stick it online. So it'll be useful there. Is there anything else I wanted to say? I wanna challenge families to decide that this spring, when you guys head out and bears are awake in the spring, that you're gonna have a plan, that you're gonna take a course, you're gonna read a book, and you're gonna get the resources you need so that your family is ready and you're prepared for running into bears and other wildlife. And of course, I always strongly encourage people to check out our website, bearsafety.com, or our new one, which is a free community, which is recsafewithwildlife.com. But head onto our website, head onto our Instagram and Twitter, and it'll all be in the show notes anyways, but we've got tons of free resources for you and we're always open to questions. So feel free to send them.
Wonderful. And Adri, we'll still ask you our final 3 questions.
Yes. So what's a piece of advice you can share to help families get outside?
Oh my goodness. I have so many. Aside from, you know, I always like to have games, especially because I'm trying to get like our 8-year-old to do a little bit longer distance hiking now. And I spy with my little eye only works for so long. So I have a couple always tricks up my sleeve. Another game that I like to try to encourage them is like, okay, when we get there, we're going to do a scavenger hunt. And there's going to be a prize when we get to the end and we have lunch. So just always having something for them to be entertained by or by looking for, like, you know, okay, your job is going to be look for these 3 things. And it'll be like a berry and a pine cone and a scratch on a tree from a bear. And they'll just make it up too, right? They're like, that's definitely a scratch. You're like, oh yeah, for sure. I would definitely always try to incorporate some fun things them to do while you're on the trail. Cause sometimes kids do have a hard time with the fact that you're going to be walking for a while. So it helps for some of those longer distance ones.
Absolutely. That's great advice. And what is one of your favorite recommendations right now? It could be a brand, it could be an idea that someone gave you.
Hands down, buy a hammock for your kids and bring it on the trail. Oh my gosh, it has been a game changer. We bring the hammock with us. And then when we go to like picnic at our lunch spot, I just set up the hammock and she just jumps in it. She thinks it's a toy. It also keeps her off the ground, so she's warmer if it's a colder day. Then we're not getting wet bums. It honestly, it's a game changer. And the other piece to that is like, you can actually sit there and let them just enjoy the experience of that place. And I know one of our last hikes, we went to Crescent Falls near Nordegg. And I'll have to send you guys a picture. And it's just her sitting in it in this beautiful little like hammock. She's got her reading book, she's got her snacks, and the waterfall is like literally right behind her. And it's just, it's what nature should be for them. It's just this comfortable, relaxing experience. And I take the hammock with us when we go camping. It goes everywhere now because it just helps to create that environment of comfort for her when we're out there.
That's great. I'd love to see that photo. Send us a DM with that if you don't mind.
Totally will.
And we always end our show here with a challenge. So I know you did mention the challenge already. So you challenge families to...
I challenge families to learn everything they can about wildlife safety before they head out this spring. And make your first hike the one that you feel like your children and you are informed, you feel confident about what you're going to do if you run into a wild animal, and you've got your can of bear spray and it's physically on your body in something like a scat belt or any type of holster that you can wear physically on you. That is what I challenge you. I want to see you guys out on those trails making noise and wearing your bear spray and being prepared.
We will all be taking your course, and hopefully we can actually have you back on the show.
That would be great. I would love to chat with you guys more about camping and, oh, there's so many great topics on this stuff.
Thanks for adventuring with us. Please subscribe and share your love by reviewing our podcast with 5 stars. And follow us over at Kids Who Explore on Instagram and all other social media platforms.